What's up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of a film room breakdown of Varsity Blues by the 330 Sports Show. I'm Justin Coffin. Today is Tuesday, August 31st. We are going to be bringing you the movie Varsity Blues. Varsity Blues was the number two seeded movie in our football region bracket of our Ultimate Movie Challenge. It came out in 1999. Our number one seed was Rudy. Number two was Varsity Blues, and number three was Remember the Titans in a 16-movie bracket. Remember the Titans ended up knocking off Varsity Blues, but whether it won or lost, I think this is a very classic movie for a lot of people, especially if you grew up in the early 2000s, late 90s time. You know, really sets the tone for what high school football is in Texas. In the fictional town of West Canaan, Texas, but I think this is true a lot over all different parts of the country. So really, really looking forward to breaking this down. This is probably in my top 10 to 20 movies of all time, just based on the entertainment value it brings. You know, some good things about it, some things that maybe haven't aged as well, but very, very entertaining movie. We're going to, you know, talk about it all. We're going to talk about all the characters, Billy Bob and Tweeter and Moxon and Lance Harbor and Kilmer, you know, Miss Davis and Darcy and all those characters. We're going to get to all those. But first, let's listen to a trailer of the movie.
In America, we have laws. And it's just accepted that as a member of American society, you will live by these laws. In West Canaan, Texas, there is another society which has its own laws.
We woke up in the Twilight Zone. West Canaan, sex and football, it's all there is.
I'm on West Roll!
This is our third installment of our film breakdown. We've broken down the movie Groundhog Day and Happy Gilmore. You can go check those movies out on our YouTube or Facebook page through Youngstown Studio and the 330 Sports Show. So with that said, don't forget your whipped cream bikini and never show weakness. The only pain that matters is the pain you inflict. Let's get after it. All right, here we go. What's up, guys? Justin Coffin here with Dave Hodge and Greg Kirchner. We're going to break down the 1999 MTV, actually, movie Varsity Blues. The basic plot is a backup quarterback is chosen to lead a Texas football team to victory after the star quarterback is injured. We're going to get into all the other details, minutiae that was not mentioned in that one sentence plot. But yeah, the fictional town of West Canaan, Texas is the home. of this movie. And I know Greg, Dave, and I have probably combined watched this movie at least 100 times between the three of us. So real quick, guys, I thought I would just, you know, say a few things here about the year 1999. It was obviously, you know, we graduated in the year 2000, but like the start of our senior year was 1999. So same year, Napster came out, MySpace came out. Let's see, what else? Popular movies that year, Boondock Saints came out, For the Love of the Game came out in 99. Movies similar to this genre, She's All That, 10 Things I Hate About You, Cruel Intentions, Big Daddy, also The Matrix came out this year, Fight Club, I think the first Austin Powers movie came out. Actually, another good football movie from our bracket too was Any Given Sunday. So a lot of big movies that year.
When did the American Pie was around there, right? Or that,
you know what?
Maybe in 98 or something.
I think you're right.
It was in that area. It may not have been 98, but yeah.
And like, yeah. Was that earlier, like 98 too?
I feel like that might have been actually a year or two before, like seven or so, but yeah.
But it was kind of like, it kind of falls almost somewhat in that like high school movie, like during those couple of years, right?
Yeah, no doubt. I don't know.
Yeah, because, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it like gives you that same vibe, no matter which one of these movies you're watching. It's kind of that, all in that same feel.
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah.
So, a lot of great movies that year, but this one I think stands out for us as far as classic, you know, the high school, the stupid jokes, the quotes, all that good stuff. We're going to get into the characters here in a minute, but this movie was our two seed in our football bracket we did way back, a football movie bracket we did way back in March, and ended up getting knocked off by the eventual champion. So, you know, the seeding didn't quite fare so well, but Remember the Titans really came out heavy hitting in that movie bracket. So I'll tell you what, let's just jump into the cast first, and then we'll dive into the movie. So I'm just going to name the people, and then you guys, you know, jump in with what you remember or whatever. So obviously James Vanderbeek, who plays Moxon, Paul Walker, Lance Harbor, Scott Conn, who plays Tweeter, John Voight. We all know John Voight. We're going to talk plenty about him. Amy Smart, Ali Larder, her film debut. Ron Lester, who played Billy Bob. There's some other minor characters we'll talk about later, but unfortunately, two of the main characters have passed away, Paul Walker and Ron Lester. We're recording this in late August of 2021. So those are fairly recent, at least Paul Walker. But what do you guys remember about this cast, or, you know, what do you guys think?
Well, to quickly daisy chain off what you said about the two people, did you know that also when researching this, the kid, like Moxon's younger brother,
okay,
been missing since like 2006 or something like that.
Oh, wow.
He's not a main character in the movie or anything, but when I was just going through and just kind of looking at some of the characters, and just seeing what they have done maybe today, if there's any other movies, when you come across him, it says like he just like disappeared one day, and he's been legally like disappeared or whatever.
The kid that was like started the cult or whatever.
Yes, on the cross and everything. Yes, he's been like missing since for like 18 years now or something ridiculous.
Good Lord.
I know. So, but yeah, three of those characters. I mean, he's not a main character, right? But
right,
you know, creepiness, I guess, with it.
So. Yeah, no doubt. I did not know that. Very interesting.
But yeah, no. The one thing also I'll find out too is that the now I'm escaping the name, but Vanderbeek wasn't supposed to play Moxon. I guess I think I heard that Billy Bob actually is the one that pushed to get him into the. They were going to have the character or the actor who played Oz and. In American Pie, I don't forget. You know what I'm talking about, right? Though.
Yes.
He was, I think, originally going to do it, but I forget. I don't know what happened necessarily, but Ron Lester was the one who like really pushed I guess they asked Ron Lester, hey, who should play Moxon? And they went to Vanderbeek. So
interesting. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, Chris Klein's the name there. Yeah. That would be interesting. I wonder if that would have been weird. That would put American Pie.
Yes.
But do you think
I think they got it right with Vanderbeek. I mean, we can talk about it. My take on the cast is, and I think this will be a theme, I think, as we talk about this, the movie, in my opinion, is one of those movies that's like perfectly imperfect. Like there's a lot of things that are clearly wrong with it. We'll talk about it. There's a lot of but I'm not sure that I feel like most of it may have been intentionally done that way. I mean, it was kind of intentionally made to be a little bit of a parody of itself. And it does exactly, I think, what it set out to do. And I think the cast generally, and we'll talk about this probably a little later. I don't like the Amy Smart character. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think it's miscast. I just think that, and again, we'll get into it, but I just think she's one of those kind of weird, like, sports movie girlfriends that you don't really know if she's supporting Amy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got a little bit of a double thing because her brother's the one who got hurt. But it's like who she's supporting, what is she rooting for? Like, is she like Team Moxon? Is she not? Like, sometimes she's just very hot and cold throughout the movie.
Yeah.
But the other characters, I think, are pretty awesome and fairly well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To go off of that, could Charlie Tweeter, played by Scott Caan, who later played Notions 11, could you have that character cast to play that exact character in 2021?
No.
Would he be canceled?
I think we all agree that he's one of the biggest non-starters of 2021. In any, I mean, almost every quote he has is borderline, you know, edgy.
And edgy is a kind way of saying rapey.
Right. I mean, yeah, just things that you would not have in the movie today.
So. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but I mean, his character, you know, it doesn't play out well, but it's like Greg said, though, it's perfectly cast for this movie. And, you know, he says a lot of things, you know, who knows if he follows through on his actions or whatever, but his character is perfectly cast, I think.
You're like when Moxon goes, Tweeter, you think you're going to enjoy jail?
Exactly.
At least they call it out in there.
Yeah. Yeah. And like Greg said, it's kind of making fun of itself, which is kind of good. Yeah. So IMDb has this as a 6.5 out of 10. And I think Rotten Tomatoes has it as a 76% audience score. I think that's probably right in the wheelhouse because I think a lot of people love this movie. And then the people that don't really like necessarily care about it all that much are probably like, it's okay. But for us and for people of probably our generation, and I think this movie could even gain some traction too in a few years with, you know, like the 25-year anniversary is coming up in a few years. It might, you know, could gain some traction and just it. The football scenes really play out well. I mean, it looks like legit, real football. So, a couple other characters too. The character that plays Wendell, actually, we'll talk about this too, but actually was an actual football player. I couldn't find where he played at college. We're at
Stanford.
Stanford. Okay. All right. So played at Stanford, and I saw he played safety with Kansas City Chiefs for at least had a cup of coffee with them. So that's pretty awesome. Couple more things on characters before we get more into the movie. Tony Perensky, Tony with an I, is played as Miss Davis. And I looked up her IMDb. I was just curious because I'm like, I feel like she would have got like a little bit more popular after this movie. But yeah. I could not find anything like of note in her IMDb biography there. So, you know, this was kind of her 15 minutes of fame. Yeah. You know, she might have some more popular movies that we're not familiar with, but none of the other film.
Also a non-starter these days. Like, there's no chance first of all, the town is like, looks like it's one strip. There's no chance that you're a teacher is also a stripper in the same town.
Exactly.
And you got to tell me, not one of those kids that go to high school, their dads or uncles went there and be like, hey, isn't that your high school English teacher or health teacher or whatever it is?
Right. Right.
Oh, that's one of about 150 things about this movie, but that's a really good one. Yeah.
Well, and real quick too, the strip club is called the Landing Strip, which apparently I haven't seen the movie Friday Night Lights, but apparently it's the same name as the strip club that's in Friday Night Lights as well. So there's a couple crossovers between Friday Night Lights and Varsity Blues. The writers actually they've been on Friday Night Lights, but didn't get it. So they adapted this more for an MTV type film is what I understood. So that's, you know, pretty cool. That's a basic sampling of the cast and the very basic stuff that went into it. What do you guys think about like the movies before we get more, or I'm sorry, the music before we get more into the movies? Pretty good soundtrack, I thought.
It's kind of a who's who of great 90s music, great 90s bands. What, Green Day, Foo Fighters. There's a Fastball song in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Van Halen, Hot for Teacher, throwing.
Yes, yes, oh, yeah. Yes. And then Thunderstruck, which is like the,
yeah.
I mean, the it's such a great like getting your ass kicked song.
Yes.
So perfectly put into that part of the movie. That and then Foo Fighters in the last game. I feel like they probably couldn't have nailed those songs any better. It's really good. It kind of all like you said early on, it brings you back. It brought me back to kind of that age and kind of just growing up in that time.
Yeah, no doubt. So many good songs.
The baggy jeans, like the James Vanderbeek like jeans. I was like, yep, definitely had a pair of those.
Yeah.
With I don't know what those are called, but that they had those like that hook on the side hip. It was like, what are we carrying around, a hammer?
They're like carpenter jeans, right? Like Structure. Yeah. Like you can get them at like Structure. Yeah.
And like what, four sizes too big too?
Relaxed fit, I think.
Yeah, you gotta cinch the belt there too. So, all right. So let's dive into the movie a little bit too. So let's just start with what scene, you know, and I think we could probably narrow it down to two or three, but what scene, we'll start with you, Dave, what scene sticks out to you the most in this movie?
Oh gosh, there's a ton of scenes that stand out. I mean, I was trying to think of what would be my favorite scene in the movie. I personally just like the opening the best. I mean, when he's picking everybody up and you kind of meet all the characters and it kind of exemplifies each one of them, right? In some way, like Harper comes out, Billy Bob like carries his stuff for him. They got this giant sign in their yard of yourself. You know, Tweeter looks like he lives in like some homeless, like their grass is like growing up, like comes out of the barn, you know, it's, and of course, you know, riding with the pig, which just goes to school, I guess, and just hangs out the whole time at school. I mean, that's probably my kind of sets. I mean, but there's so many. The Thunderstruck, I mean, there's every game is pretty much, it's got a good scene to it as well. So, but that's one that stands out to me.
Yeah, yeah, Dave, that's a great answer. But I gotta talk to you about the Gilroy game first. Greg,
the cool part about that scene too is they like pull in and like the whole school basically like crowds on the car like as it pulls into the parking lot, and then they go like straight into the pep, like it says like pep rally 9 a.m. like when is there ever a pep rally at like 9 a.m. it's like up and go right into the pep rally, and then it goes into Kilmer, and it's just like you're right, like the thing that and this is not a cop-out answer because I think I do have an answer, but there really isn't any part of this movie that misses. It really like flows from one thing to the next thing to the next thing, and really either game or party or, you know, the opening scene or the serious scene and things like that, but it flows together pretty well. I would say if I had to pick one, I think the ending, like the end of the movie, the final game is pretty amazing. The confrontation with Kilmer at halftime, the ridiculousness of Gilroy his own celebrations.
Look and just at him dance.
They're doing
a full party.
Yeah, it's and just the absurdity of like now all of a sudden Paul Walker is the head coach and we're going to install a new offense on the fly, no huddle. Like the assistant coaches are gone, Kilmer's gone. Like it's like what the hell's going on, but it works.
I what that scene you just described is going to lead to a lot of questions here in a little bit. So yeah, we're definitely going to get to that. The scene that you talked about too, when they pull in and the pep rally and stuff, that kind of to me reminds me. And then they later did a parody, which Billy Bob was in one of our like funniest movies we've probably ever watched, Not Another Teen Movie. And it, you know, it parodies this movie a lot. In that Not Another Teen Movie, my scene that I'm gonna go with, and there's so many, I wrote down like seven or eight of them, but I think it's just the most iconic is the whipped cream bikini, you know, or you know, which I later found out was shaving cream, the shaving cream bikini. But I think Ali Larder really stands out obviously in that role, and I think as a, you know, a high school kid watching that, that's sort of etched in your memory for all time. I mean, I've never personally seen one in person. So, you know, I got to go off of Varsity Blues here to live vicariously through that. But that was a pretty good one. And I think if you asked anybody what, you know, just like a common person that maybe doesn't like do a deep dive into this movie, what do you remember about it? I would say that would probably stand out most to like the average person. So any other scenes that, you know, just really stand out for you guys?
One, staying on the Darcy trend, I guess, the one thing that always, it's not really a standout scene per se, but it's one that's kind of makes you scratch your head, is like, literally, they go to the hospital, you know, we're going with Lance, and, you know, she's there, and then she leaves with Moxon, and they don't even get 4 miles down the road. She's like, already, like, I'm done with him. Because he's going to like work at Walmart and coach Pee Wee football, and she's already hitting on him. I mean, it is a full court press from her. Like she's just takes. I mean,
oh yeah,
that part is just like, you know, it was also kind of interesting, and I guess in the sense that she just immediately just dumps him right to that. So
oh yeah,
but yeah, Greg, you got anything?
I mean, it's just, there's so many. For some reason, one of my favorite, it's not even really a scene, but one of my favorite like 1 minute parts of the movie is when Billy Bob's in the nurse's office and then Kilmer comes walking in. So he walks in, the first thing he says to the nurse, go on now, kicks the nurse out of the nurse's office, and immediately is just like, how you feeling? And just like, you know, it's nerves. Don't worry, you're gonna play every minute of the game. It's just the most like, it's the most like Kilmer. There's so many parts of the movie where they're just driving home how big of a piece of shit Kilmer is. But that probably is one of the biggest. And it's just like, it's just so over the top, but it works. And the crazy thing is you know, it's probably not all that far fetched to what, you know, there's certain. Yeah. Is probably, especially when you get down into the Texas high school football and things like that, that are pretty close to that. So and you could see how, I mean, in all seriousness, how he kind of like, who the hell knows what Billy Bob's story is? That's another thing. Like, does he have, you know, they don't see his family anywhere. He says he swears on his mother's grave at one point. So maybe you presume his mother's passed away, but you can actually see, and this may be the most serious thing I say the whole time, but you can see how Kilmer's got like this power over Billy Bob. You can see the whole movie where he kind of looks up to him. He's this abusive coach. And it's like very apparent in that moment when he's like, you know, you're going to play, right? You tell me if you're good to go for me, you know? And it's like, that's my soldier, William Robert. And it is very like, it's kind of sad in a weird way, even though it's kind of a parody of just how the power this guy has.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, also, I mean, he doesn't even let him skip practice. He's like, you got practice, you know? But I mean, I think we need like a non-starter checklist. I mean, the concussions probably aren't maybe like, you know, nowadays would not have that. I mean, and then are they even allowed to give injectables in high school? I don't think that's allowed. So like Toradol or whatever. So
I can speak like to, we weren't like our basketball players weren't even allowed to take even something as simple as Tylenol without their parents' permission, you know? So, you know, that's a far step from shooting up with cortisone in your knee or something.
Right.
That's where it helped that Billy Bob's like 31 years old.
Yeah, right. Right. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So yeah. You had mentioned the concussions, Dave. So I think the NFL finally got, you know, wised up to the concussion stuff about what, 15 years ago or so. I think it honestly might have taken that concussion movie that Will Smith did to like really shed light on it. But this movie, you know, there are no personal fouls for targeting. There's no concussion protocol. I think finally some of the teammates are like, hey, if you're not good to go, you know, they were sort of policing themselves by the end of the movie, but I don't know.
And you have Billy Bob literally on an oxygen tank, like not like, cause I'm trying to get a little bit of wind for the next, I mean, he doesn't even know where he's at. There are two points in the movie where he essentially just goes unconscious. It's just like, you good?
Well, yeah, exactly. No, he's good. Well, and then Kilmer totally flips, Lance's injury and totally deflects the blame to Billy Bob. It's like, my star quarterback is dragging his leg, because Billy Bob couldn't even like keep his eyes open because he had a concussion. And he basically, and real quick, that was a false start. So that play never should have happened. That is,
I thought that's good.
False start on the right guard who passed out.
Yeah, exactly. Then Lance never gets injured.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know.
Plus, but, holding up fingers. He's like, no. It's got to be true or false. Like, oh, okay.
True or false, Billy Bob. Man's holding up some fingers.
He's really? Good.
And he's still not even sure. So,
like, he's good.
One other scene I want to talk about too is the backyard barbecue scene with the dads, who I think Lance's dad and Mox's dad get the worst actor awards for this movie. Because, first of all, I want to know if there was a dialect coach on. I didn't look in the credits to see if there was a dialect coach, because the accents were god awful. I mean, it was like they walked off the street, pulled up some like New York, Chicago, Midwestern type person and threw him into Central Texas and was like, all right, just give me your best Texas accent, you know? And it was not a great performance in that.
No.
But that backyard scene though, my boy would be starting quarterback if Kilmer wasn't such a prick. You know, it's like, this kid is all state Texas going to Florida State. No quarterback in the entire state is better than this kid.
Like, Bobby Bowden was in your house probably 2 weeks ago.
And exactly.
Like, you're worried about Moxon's dad saying that his boy should be starting.
I mean, all the dads in this, and like, or whatever they are, because they're like, there's the cop and all that. I mean, they're hanging out at practice. They're watching them at the very beginning. I mean, when they even show when they're playing Pee Wee, and they're screaming at them as if they're like, I mean,
I have so many personal issues and problems with parents that are like helicopter parents at practice like that. It's like, first of all, let the coaches do their job. Let the players play. Get off their ass. One, it's practice. Two, like you said, even back at the Little League stuff, they're the peewee stuff, they're on them early on. And then, you know, in the stands, whatever, you know, that's a different thing. But my God, you're going to practice. You're drinking beer. And like, first of all, do you have a job?
Yeah, the cop's there. I mean, he's just hanging out. I mean,
It's a you know, low crime day in West Canaan. So
and we're gonna decide who's better by hitting a can from 6 yards away off.
button hook right on 3-on-3. Come on, boy, hit it.
Actually, when I watched that, like, he does say hut 4 times. So, I mean, he goes on 4 instead of 3.
There's a good Amy Smart moment in that, too, where she's just like, shut up, dad. Like, it's, and, like, it's like way over the top and like walks.
Right. Yeah.
There's one more character I wanted to point out that I didn't. That is really the only time you see him is in, I think you see him in the stands once, but he's in the backyard. He's actually Lance's younger brother. His name is Jesse Plemons, who plays Tommy Harbor. He is if we could go back and redo that like worst character of all time list, Greg, that we did way back when, I would put him in there. He was like the ultimate villain in Breaking Bad towards the end. So he is just a gigantic piece of shit, and he looks like it too. So that kid I had to point out. He's probably 9 or 10 years old. Oh no, he's like 13 or 14 because they say they're gonna hold him back
for freshman
football tryouts.
Well, he's kind of a dick in this movie too, because doesn't he say, oh, come on, you chicken or something?
Like, yeah, he is a chicken. This movie's so good. It's just for grins. Don't get your panties in a bunch. I mean, literally, you could just spout off line by line by line of this movie. It just never gets old.
Is there anything, when you, like, you interrupted me earlier on the Gilroy thing, or the Brown thing, Gilroy game, but, I mean, that to me is one of the most astonishing scenes you talk about, memorable, because he's literally reading, I've got a full scholarship to Brown, which I actually went back and looked. That's like $35,000 a year back in 2000.
Oh, so yeah.
You know, talking about $140,000 full ride. He doesn't even let him finish reading the letter before he's interrupting about the Gilroy game. It's unreal.
It's not. Yeah, you're right. That is just absolutely the most asinine scene. And I like how the guys come and check in on what he's doing, because, you know, he arranged an all night drinking party the week before. And they were like, Mox will stick to the game plan.
Yes.
And then that's when the brother that you said is missing. It's like, oh, did you start a call? That's adorable.
Probably also not a non-starter.
Yeah, no, not at all. I'll tell you what, guys, let's we'll take a break here. We'll bring it back in just a minute. All right, back for part two. We're going to now get into like some of the trivia and maybe like some different things maybe you didn't know about the movie, and then we're going to pick it apart a little bit after that. So you guys have any trivia or tidbits? Greg, I know you're usually good for a few of those. Dave threw out a few already, so we'll start with you, Greg. You got any good ones?
Let's see. I mean, you had a good one that you sent out the other day, it is confirmed on the IMDb trivia about Kilmer. You could see Kilmer carrying the box, his one box for 35 years of coaching football. Like, all the stuff always fits in one box, but him carrying that out at the very end scene when they show his statue. And then give the really weird line of they can't remove the statue because it's too heavy. You can't like bulldoze the statue. Yeah. You can't take a wrecking ball to the statue. But yeah, but there is like Kilmer's there walking. You can see it, and you sent that like still screenshot.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I had heard that before. I think it was like Vanderbeek or somebody in an interview mentioned that. And so when I was rewatching it the other day, I was looking, and it's literally right when you said Kilmer never coached a game again. It's like when he's given his final speech. If you pause it right at that moment, I think it's top left corner. It's kind of under the bleachers. He's walking out, and you could see him. So maybe he made a couple multiple trips to get a couple of those division title trophies out of there, you know, after that. Either you guys have any more interesting facts? I got a bunch, so.
I know the Ali Larter and Amy Smart are best friends in real life, which is kind of interesting.
That is really interesting.
For a long time. So.
Okay. How about
go for it?
Go ahead, Dave.
I was just gonna say I was trying to look at some of the cast, Scott Kahn, and he was like nervous about playing the film, I guess, because he like wasn't sure about like. He just like I guess he had it said something about like him not wanting to get along with some of these actors, but then him and Paul Walker became good friends and they roomed together for a while in like Austin, Texas. Okay. So that's where this was probably one of your questions, sorry. But it was probably near Austin, Texas or whatever. But they had like a kind of like a college like or like a you know, just kind of like a frat house kind of like style when they did this movie. So
yeah.
They were good friends until he passed away.
Okay, interesting. Okay. Yeah, it's cool to see like, you know, I think James Vanderbeek was obviously known from like Dawson's Creek. I never really watched that show, but I knew about it. So he was kind of popular heading into this movie, but the rest of them were sort of unknowns and then they became popular or you know, became in a lot of big time films after that. So so that's pretty cool. Jonathan Moxon wears number 4. Because his favorite player is Brett Favre. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I had mentioned about the whipped cream right over my shoulder there is actually shaving cream because the whipped cream would melt off and, you know, your body temperature obviously is going to melt that off. The announcers in the booth are actually real high school football announcers in the state of Texas. They are not actors. So I thought that was kind of neat that they brought them in. There was a play way back. I remember it from Sports Center, but it was a high school championship state game at the old Dallas Cowboys state. And it was like some sort of miracle last second play. And those are the two guys on the call for that. So I thought that was a kind of a neat thing.
That's really good. Yeah.
How about the tweeter end zone dance? You know who that's based off of? You know, based off the Icky Shuffle.
I was going to say, probably.
And then two other things. First of all, a couple years ago, Varsity Blues came to light again because Aunt Becky and a few of the other people that were going through that college admission scandal, the FBI, or I don't know if it was the FBI or CIA, named that Operation Varsity Blues. So I thought that was kind of neat. So if you Google Varsity Blues, a lot of times what you'll get is that scandal, that USC, and there was a ton of schools involved with that. But I thought that was interesting. Okay, and then this was the last thing I wrote, at least on trivia. I guess it's really not even trivia, but an interesting factoid I wrote down. But the guy that comes to the party, first of all, it's a high school party. He says he's the class of 1980.
Yes.
And this kind of goes along with those, with the parents at the practice and stuff like that. But okay, so 1980, this movie's filmed in 1999. That would be the equivalent to someone of the class of 2002 going to a part, who would be a 37, 38 year old person going to a high school party now. So I just thought that was interesting, you know. You know, it's like, first of all, dude, why are you there? You have, you know, absolutely. He's wearing his Letterman's jacket.
he never misses a party. Don't forget that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's also never left that town except to go to a visiting high school game. So yeah.
So I think what you're saying is he deserved to get hit in the nuts.
Yes.
In a way, it kind of makes Tweeter look a little bit like a little bit of a bully, but you got to remember he's the 18 year old kid and this 38 year old drinking with 18 year olds at a party. So I have a slight issue with that. So those that's what I wrote down for trivia. You know, I'm sure there's more out there that we missed, but that's good. So let's get into, I guess, kind of the main course here. Let's pick this movie apart a little bit. And, you know, we already talked about it a bunch. So the my first main question is after, you know, it's, what's the running back's name again?
Wendell.
Wendell. Yeah. After Wendell pulls, like, I think he pulls a hamstring based on like the part of his leg he's grabbing, or his knee or something. He, you know, he goes in the training room at halftime and they're about to shoot him up. And that's when all like Lance comes in and Moxon comes in and Tweeter and Billy Bob and all them. And that's when all shit hits the fan. And, you know, and then Kilmer and Moxon kind of go at it and Kilmer ends up leaving. But the big question here is, where the hell's the rest of the coaching staff? I mean, every high school football coaching staff, I would imagine, has at least eight coaches, if not 10 to 12. Where's one other coach?
An offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator.
Exactly.
Special teams, a lineman coach, whatever. Yeah.
Like, in the game that Moxon comes in, there is a coach that's like the irate signal. Yeah. Couldn't figure it out. Like,
you got it.
So yeah, like I said at the beginning, there's a lot of stuff I think that's done intentionally in this movie, but then there is some stuff that's just like, I don't know, they just either running out of time to shoot or just didn't even worry about it. Like one where it's just like, yeah, it's a huge plot hole, but who cares?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, because in general, like in basketball, it happens more where you see the head coach might get ejected or whatever. And then, you know, an assistant coach will step up. But in high school football, you never see any ejections. You never do. But at the same time, I would think it would have to be a rule that there has to be an adult that has legal certifications and qualifications to be able to coach a game. I mean, Lance Harbor is pretty damn knowledgeable at going to Florida State on a full ride for quarterback, but still an 18-year-old kid. So,
and you'd think, I mean, stuff like there'd be an athletic director, right? If there word would get out pretty quick that there's like turmoil in the locker room, and like the probably the freaking superintendent would be in the locker room or something. But he would be in there, like, figure exactly out what's going on. Or even if it didn't happen, when the team comes out with like no coach and they're just like, I mean, do you think somebody would come down and
like an official or something? Even.
that part amazed me the most. I mean, on the same pathway a little bit, but Kilmer just, I mean, the whole movie builds him up because this is his empire, right? Yeah. He's 22 district state titles, count them, and 2 state titles or whatever. And like, he's like what was mentioned, he's got control over Billy Bob. He can mess with like, you know, Moxon's like scholarship to Brown and all that stuff. But yet like one, like halftime speech and he just disappears from the whole time. I mean, they're like, it's almost like they got rid of him too easy, I felt like.
Yeah.
Back. Like, there's no way this person would just, you know, walk off into the, you know, into Nowheresville. Like, I feel like it was almost just too easy. And I mean, again, maybe they're running out of time. What are you going to do? Like, besides, like, you know, I don't know what you're going to do to get rid of him, perhaps, but it just felt a little bit like, I mean, that whole thing's like 2 minutes and he's gone.
So, exactly.
Yeah. I don't think you're right. I don't think he leaves without being forcibly taken out. I think he goes out with half the team.
Yeah.
Plays with whoever, because he wouldn't leave the sideline.
Well, this comes back. I mean, it's like he never coaches again. Like, he just packs his stuff up. Somehow he got fired by the team, you know, in a sense.
Right. Right. Yeah.
That would not happen.
Yeah.
You would think he'd go a couple towns over and be like, yeah, I got 22 district titles. And all right, we haven't. Yeah,
right.
We won 3 games the last 6 years. So come on.
Right. Yeah, Gilroy next year.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And this is a time AOL's around and stuff like that. And but there's not all this social media stuff. So he'd be able to like get out pretty unscathed, you know, be like, that article they wrote in the newspaper wasn't true, you know, when he goes to his next interview. So, oh, well. All right,
that's a good point. Not to jump into a rabbit hole, but it'd be interesting to see like what does the paper say the next day after that game? Like, Coyotes win without. I mean, how did they spin it? Right? I don't even know. That would be interesting to see.
No doubt. And another thing he had control of, Dave, as you mentioned earlier, too, the police. I mean, the friggin' police.
My boy's
too much for you. No, coach.
So one that's one of the things that one of the things I had on my list of just like how did this happen? This guy's the most powerful person in town. They're in this little like bar restaurant type place. How do they not know he's in? Like you would know like Kilmer's whatever he drives is like in the park. Like any Bud Kilmer is in West Canaan, they know he's there. And like to have this thing where like they're talking about the players and they don't realize that Kilmer's in a booth doing paperwork. Like what the hell is he doing anyway? Like it's really
exactly okay. Really weird. That just triggered a thought for me. Yeah. Is Kilmer a teacher?
No.
Like, what does he do? Like, what does he do?
Apparently, he's just volunteers because he just walked off. He didn't have to get fired.
but he knew Billy Bob was in the nurses' clinic. He came in. Like, I mean, he had to be at school. Maybe
I feel like he's around. He's just around. I think.
Okay.
Like, he's probably got an office in the school.
Yeah.
But I guess they probably gave him a title.
Yeah. Well, at Texas high school football, maybe you make enough. You probably make the same amount a teacher would make, you know, like a 20-year-old, you know, right. Tenured teacher. So interesting. Okay. Next question. Billy Bob. What's his last name? Everyone else has a last name on their jersey.
Yeah.
This just says Billy Bob.
That's a good point.
There's no good answer for that one. No family. I mean it probably goes back to like what's his backstory in life. I mean, he doesn't seem that much of a family when he goes to do whatever he's gonna do in the field. He leaves bacon with moxins. You don't know what to do with them. It's like no right. siblings, no seemingly no parents.
They do a limited job of like the extended family. It's really like Harvard family and Moxon's family. I'm like Tweeter too. Like, I don't know. There's that one guy that's got like the mullet. I'm not sure. Maybe he's his dad. I don't know. He's just always the one that was talking with the cop in the bar. He was always around too. And he was at the practice, I think. And like talking about,
that's a good point.
You know, hammering your boy, but I don't know if that's like one of the dads or not. It's never really mentioned. So
yeah.
Interesting. Okay. 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 So, Greg brought up Bacon the pig, and you had mentioned this earlier, Dave. So when they all drive to school, Bacon's in the car with them. What's Bacon doing during the day, the school day? Is he at school? Is he? You can't leave the pig in the car, can you?
Yeah, he's in the pep rally with the other 24 people on the stands in there.
I love that dog.
I love it. He's drinking syrup.
It's gross. Well, I saw post pictures after the movie. He had that lap band surgery later on in life, so he lost like a ridiculous amount of weight. Billy Bob, he looked, you know, I don't know how he passed away or whatever. I don't want to get into that, but he ended up losing a lot of weight. But they really played up his weight in this movie for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, next one. Accepted to the University of Brown. That's great. But you got to think this is week 8, week 9, week 10 of the high school football season, which puts you in October. Mm-hmm. Are you accepted to an Ivy League university that early? I don't know.
On a full ride. I don't know. I mean, is it just academic full ride? I mean, I don't know what.
Yeah.
Or just college football full ride.
You would
he said he never played football again.
Okay.
Yeah. The movie. I think it was just an academic full ride, which is I don't know. I'm trying to remember what the admission cycle is for colleges. I mean, it's probably not.
You would think after your seventh semester, probably a high school, I believe, is when that stuff starts rolling out, but I don't know, because maybe Mox. What if he bombed a bunch of classes that football season? Hey, he's the starter now. He can't be reading. I think it was Slaughterhouse-Five, Kurt Vonnegut. He was reading, but
it doesn't strike me that West Canaan necessarily is like a top educational institution.
Yeah. Right.
Although the health class is pretty fulsome. stripper teaching it. You know, they're squashing all the rumors for the male erection, you know, all the slang terms for the male erection. So they're, you know, they're getting pretty good sex ed, but I'm not sure about how much their other courses are doing.
That's got a bunch of advanced calc they got going on over there.
Oh yeah, exactly. Okay, so here's the next big question. Is Kilmer really racist?
Yes.
Okay.
Unequivocally, yes.
Okay.
Thank you. No question about it.
Okay.
Good, Greg.
Yeah, I mean, just the way he talks to Wendell, there's two occasions where he calls him boy.
Yes. And
extremely derogatory term in the way he says it. So there's no question about it.
Yeah. Okay. Dave, same.
Yeah. I mean, the things I pick up are that as well. And obviously what they talk about in the movie, not letting them score or getting Texas A&M or whoever over Texas Tech to scout for him or whatever. But I didn't know if like you were applying to get that, if there's like anything else said, besides that indirect thing and saying the boys, that's what it is. But he's definitely racist. Yeah.
Because you would
plus there's no other African-Americans on the team.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Sure. I was thinking about that too. Like, you know, this is based in West Texas. You know, it was filmed a little bit east of Austin, Texas. But, you know, you would think, though, 22 state title, or I'm sorry, 22 district championships, two state titles, you would think he'd have some pretty good African-American players, some black players on his team.
Yeah.
Just based on skill set, and over time, you're going to have, it's just a natural thing. So.
Plus, I think, now that I think about it, every other team almost looks predominantly black. And there's like some, like, you know, I think Gilroy had a couple people that might have been like, you know, kind of like Spanish or like, you know, Mexican or something like that. So, because you are in Texas, I mean, so I don't know.
Yeah, right. Wow. I guess that's an unanswerable question.
It might be just one of those things that like the it's kind of known in the community. And then, you know, if you move away, if you're, you know, really, and maybe it was just somebody that stuck and he was too good to ignore. But yeah, it's definitely, you can definitely tell. And he's really pissed in the Gilroy game when Moxon changes the play and he scores.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Oh yeah.
Well, the only pain that matters is the pain you inflict. But I was just thinking that because, you know, like, I think it's deeply seated, and it's one of those things that's like, it, like Greg said, it's kind of overlooked because he wins games and he's a, you know, a good football coach, you know, in the sense of he wins a lot of games. He's not necessarily looking out for their careers or their health or their futures, but you know, he gets the job done on a Friday night. So, okay. Next question. Speaking of injuries, Lance, are you going to have surgery the exact same night you're injured like that? He tore every ligament in his knee, they said. I would think there'd be some swelling that would need to come down. So thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm no orthopedic surgeon, but I believe when guys like tear their ACLs, they wait a couple weeks before they have surgery. I think the only time you would have immediate surgery like that is if you had like a bad fracture or like, you know, like nerve or artery damage or something. Yeah. So no.
Okay.
And yeah. I love I mean, it's like, you know, obviously Kilmer is going to be Kilmer, right? Any chance for this season, but how about like freaking Lance's dad? The guy comes out, he just got out of surgery. Like, how long is he going to be out? It's like, how did he do? Is he alive? Yeah. Okay? Like, did he have a eating? It's like, no, how long is he out? It's like, you know, Kilmer's Kilmer, but you know, the whole, you could see the freaking whole town, the mindset and the culture in the whole town is
football owns it. Yeah. I mean, here's a question. I don't know the answer. This is a question for you. Maybe you guys know, but like, if he does like get himself injured and he does get a full ride, can they pull the scholarship on him on injury?
A lot of times, yes.
Okay. All right. I didn't know if there was like a, I thought there was like a medical, like they would have to give him something. I don't know if there was a medical reason or not, but
a lot of times, you know, is especially if there, if he hasn't physically signed the offer, then it's just like a verbal agreement. It's just like a kid can, you know, back out of their verbal agreement. So a lot of schools though that are coached by, you know, decent human beings will honor that no matter what. You know, like I, you know, I'm just going to, I'm not going to say his name, but a kid around here has a full ride to Boston College. And he's a junior, but broke his leg in game one up here, week one. But I would imagine they'll honor that because he's still got a senior year. He can rehab, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, things like that are unfortunate, but it's part of the game. And now what they could do with like injuries, like Lance's knee, you know, that just brings me back to Kilmer. Never said anything to me. Like you're shooting him up. So.
And he tells Moxon to go home and just be dead. Go on. Harbors, appreciate you being here, but nothing you can do. You're like, he runs the hospital as well, and he's like basically Moxon's dad. It's incredible.
And then Allie Larder. Things change, Malt.
let me make it a little bit more obvious what I'm doing. You know, she's like, I'm going to leave. You know, it's kind of a family thing and all. It just takes off, jogs down the hall. Like,
Yeah, the high leg kicks.
And she's like half naked in the car and like 30 seconds later, like getting dressed for the party.
Oh my God.
Billy Bob's running around at the party after he almost died.
And
But I think it just shows that I don't know if it's even the intention, but the characters are who they are, like thick and thin. And if you could say anything, there's no one's fake here. Everybody's
true.
Exactly who they are at all times.
But how disappointing that has to be for Lance though. Only one of his teammates showed up. That's pretty damn depressing.
Pretty harsh.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're all at a party afterwards, and I did see the Billy Bob, like after having the passing out and needing oxygen, all of a sudden he's fine, you know. Which parlay
like he's running with a drink and like faster move during the game.
Which I'm sure we can probably talk to next is when the cops arrive, which is the iconic scene as well. So
yeah, all right. Well, that leads right into the next question. In what world does Tweeter not get arrested?
In Bud Kilmer's world,
West, I think. Canyon, Texas.
Whether it's an intentional hole or it is in or they or sorry, whether it's an accidental hole or they intentionally just lead you to believe that Bud Kilmer, football players don't get arrested in West Canaan.
Let's go through the list of possible crimes. So, and these are just off the top of my head. So first of all, theft, Grand Theft Auto.
Yep.
OVI or DUI, whatever you want to call it. Providing alcohol to minors, even though he's a minor himself, he's got these other girls. Public indecency, right? Nudity in the car. Yep. So those are the ones I can think of. Probably speeding.
I'm going to give the girls two Percocet or a Percocet, two Vicodin, and a couple beers.
Panties drop.
And just he's singing, she broke my heart, so I broke her jaw. I mean, these lines, they make him out. It's amazing that he,
How long is he? He's just driving this cop car around with the siren blaring for presumably hours.
Yes.
Because a couple of things I noticed, and again, when you like watch these movies with like a more critical eye, you see these things. Moxon goes, this is another one of my favorite scenes in the movie. Moxon goes to the mini mart gets the bottle of Coke. the guy has like the best 30 seconds in the whole movie, like behind the counter, because he's obviously got like the six pack of beer, like sitting under there, like ready to like, when he comes up and puts it down, he slaps it up. And then he's like, your money's no good here. And if you gotta just watch this again, he like puts it in the bag and puts it down. And he's like, he just does like one of these, like, it's all yours, buddy. but when Tweeter comes rolling in the cop car, Moxon's got like, there's only three cans left in the six pack. I assumed like when I watched that from the beginning that he's like outside the mini mart. Yeah. So clearly he's been kind of walking around and wherever he's at. So all this time, like, it's probably going on about an hour plus, because Tweeter also would have had to pick up the girls and whatever. Like, we're on about an hour and a half, and he's still driving around.
I'm like, and, okay, so isn't that the main strip of the town there too?
Yeah.
There's no one there.
The whole town is one strip, and it just shuts down whenever the game comes.
He's weaving down the road. There's
nothing. Oh man.
The guy that works there apparently didn't drive there. He walked there. You know, I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so inappropriate for the you know, that part of it, but it's still like it's just hilarious.
I mean, what about Tweeter just at the final scene? He's just slamming beers in the end zone.
Like, yeah.
On the field. Also, probably, you know, Tweeter drank beers because that's what he did. Tweeter drank beer or whatever. He's unreal.
Yeah.
Oh my god. All right. This is my last. Like, I have a couple more questions, but this is my last, like, big one. So, they win the game against Gilroy on the hook and ladder play to Billy Bob, and obviously, you know, cool play. We could argue about the way that play unfolds, but we don't need to get into that. But so they win the game, which is like, you know, you beat this Gilroy team, who's awesome. And they said they never played football again, or at least Moxon did. So there was no playoffs or what, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it was just unexplainable. They just went to Gilroy. All I remember is they're like, Gilroy was in like 3A. They moved down and they've been killing people. But like, I didn't know. I never recall hearing anything about this is for like the district title, let alone the state.
I think it was for the district title, but then they talked about how Kilmer's got two state titles. So
yeah,
usually you win districts and you go to regionals or.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seemed like there should be another game. And I know you got to climax the movie somehow, but it seems like, oh, yeah, we went on and we had a great run in the playoffs, but we couldn't quite, you know, I don't know. Maybe that's
They could have even done like, yeah, well, because we didn't have a coach.
Yes, right.
That's true.
And all our assistants left, like we were disqualified from continuing, but, you know, this is the way we wanted to end it or something, you know.
Yeah,
I don't
know.
Like, you could
just. Kilmer got the final laugh. Oh, man. All right. So, obviously, we talked about the targeting. You know, not a big thing in the late 90s there. And last little question I have, if you guys have any more, feel free to jump in. The last one I got was, when they go to a strip club, okay, first of all, they go there, and they're there all night. And we had already talked about Miss Davis, you're drinking with a teacher or whatever. But yeah. Do they not get ID'd? I mean, some of them are wearing their varsity high school jackets.
No, nothing. They have no rules in this town, as it's obviously evident that Tweeter is even in the game after stealing the cop car and everything. So, yeah. No. And they drink it on the house. You know, there's a lot of underage drinking at the parties. The cops show up. They're just making sure. He's also making sure no one drinks and drives, but yet he tells Tweeter to go home. Like, it's that, how is he going to get home? they drink on the house there.
That's a good point on the strip club too, because the only thing that I was thinking of that you could buy the fact that Miss Davis could be a stripper and they wouldn't know it is if the place was like an hour away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not an hour away, because they're drinking on the house and they're like, it's just, it doesn't compute. And also, there's no strip clubs I'm aware of that are open till like 6 in the morning, because they walk out and it's like light out.
Yeah.
They said they had to play later that night. Usually games are on Friday nights. So did they just not go to school, or they go to school? They never really talked about that, but I don't think it really mattered. So.
Yeah,
they're 18 years old. They could have, I mean, you just get, well, Kilmer would have been pissed, but they could have like got some IVs, hydrated up, not gone to school. I think they'd have been okay to play, but
yeah, right. Yeah, academics is not the highest priority in Bud Kilmer's West Canaan Coyotes. All right, so let me just ask you guys a few random questions. If you have any other thoughts, please throw them out there. But do you guys have any like other unanswered questions from this movie?
While we're thinking about that, I want to make sure we get this line on the show, because it's not an unanswerable question, but it's probably there's so many ridiculous lines in this movie, but possibly one of the most ridiculous is when, before that first game, when they're like, the announcers are doing like the pregame and they're like, anything you got to say? And he's like, if your grandma lives in Bingville, tell her to get the hell out, because we're coming to burn her house down. It's like, what is happening in this town?
Oh man.
What is Bingville. Happening?
How about Mox, on another side though, how about Mox's throw from the bench? He's just like,
yeah.
And the ref acts as if it like hurt him when he hit.
That looked like it was like a 40-50 yard throw straight from your ass. That's NFL material right there.
Yeah.
All right. What if you could have one piece of movie memorabilia from this movie? It could be anything. What would you want?
Greg, I'll let you go first.
Oh gosh.
Or if you don't have something, go.
Shoot, this is tough. This is a good one, and I can't. I'm kind of blanking on it right now. I take the Kilmer. I mean, if they can get the Kilmer statue to my house, I can't move it. But I want to know more about that statue, because it looks I don't know. I wonder. I don't know what that's made out of, what it is, but it would be kind of cool to have like sitting in my backyard.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay. I mean. When you first said that, I was trying to think of like what would I be able to take home, like something small.
Yeah.
And then when you said anything, it changed my mind a little bit. But I mean, I originally was thinking just give me like a Mox Sim jersey, you know, West Coyote. You probably can do that nowadays. But now I kind of want Billy Bob's truck.
That was my answer. Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. I would probably, you know, if you're taking the truck, since you took before me, because that's a pretty cool ass truck.
And oh, yeah.
That shows he's got to have at least a little bit of money, you know, from his family. Although trucks to West Texas, that's probably a high priority over living, food, whatever, you know, it might be. But yeah, no, that would be good. I might want the pig, man.
Do you need bacon?
I might want the pig. The pig or... I don't know, but I'd probably want like a jersey or something too, but you could probably find one of those on eBay or something.
Yeah.
All right. Who won the movie for you guys? Who was the MVP of this movie in your opinion? Dave, we're going to start with you.
It's gotta be Kilmer in my eyes. I mean, I almost think we all said, I mean, everything about him, I think he was cast perfect for this one. I'm trying to think of who might play better than Voight, but I mean, he just, every line, you know, even like his opening speech, he says like, we beat them, you know, I mean, he says nothing basically in his opening pep rally speech, which is like, you expect something more out of him, but just his halftime speeches, everything about it, he's the MVP in my opinion.
Tonight we play Bingville. Tonight we beat Bingville.
He almost gives like a
Hail Hitler type thing.
Absolutely. And the band just like stops like mid. It's unbelievable. Like, Dave on the head. He bats 1,000 during the movie. Again, the characters are great. The movie's great, but you have to have that like evil force.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He is that evil force, and you have to like really believe that this guy is awful and epitomizes awful in every possible way. Mm-hmm. Even just like everything that like you would never do as a coach, right? I've brought 22 district tight, you know, go fetch me a district tight. It's never about you, right? But it's like,
I mean, you try to think of one line,
bring me another one.
There's not one line in it, you know, that where he actually has any kind of sense of being like a good person, like, you know, talking about his dad, you know, being a talented pussy and like throwing, like he throws his book and like you know, it's just everything he does.
I think you could do a segment. I don't think we're running out of time, but like what the worst thing he says, because he says so many terrible things. You're gonna listen to a gimp who wants you to lose so he could be the missing link. You know, and then what he says to Billy Bob when he calls Billy Bob into his office, he's just like, you're slow, all of a sudden you're lazy.
Yeah,
sit down, get the hell out of here.
That was real bad.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Kilmer as well, but I also put for my silver and bronze, I put Ali Larder, just because I think that kind of jump started her career, and Lance, who obviously, you know, he went on his real name is escaping me.
Paul Walker.
Yeah, but he went on and did all the Fast and Furious movies, and you know that really jump started his career as well. So, all right, final thing. What grade percentage wise you guys give this movie? So let me break it down real quick. 100 to 90 is an A. 89 to 80 is a B. 79 to 70 is a C. A D would be 69 to 60, and anything below that is an F. Greg, how about you?
I give it a 93. It's a movie that I will always watch. I will always love. When my kids are old enough, I'll show it to them, and I'll never not. It's one of those, if it's on TV or on anything, I'll always stop and watch it.
I'm giving it, I was right in that range too. I was going to give it a 92. I mean, it's not like out of this world in terms of like acting, but it's just one of those ones, like Coffin, you said it, you either resonate and love this movie or you just, it's okay. You know?
Exactly. Exactly. I'm going to go with an 88 because I think it's really, really good. And I think it's inherently flawed, but I think that's good though. I think it's supposed to be, like Greg had mentioned earlier. So this was a lot of fun. We probably missed a ton of stuff, but you know what? I think we hit on all the major plot points and things we wanted to talk about. So gentlemen, appreciate your time. We'll do this again real soon. I know we're going to get Rudy in before the football season's over, so we'll get that one in. But yeah, this was good. We'll talk to you guys soon.